Well, the Public Accounts Committee, as we've been hearing, is meeting about now to consider the possibility of compelling former rehab chief executives to answer questions before it. Frank Flannery and Angela Kearns have declined the committee's invitations to attend. The PAC will instead hear from other rehab figures, but what will they do about the decision of these two key former executives to stay away? Simon Harris is a Fine Gael TD and a PAC member. I spoke to him just before we came on air. Now, first of all, do you accept the bona fides of Angela Kearns saying that for health reasons she's not able to go today?
Well, look, absolutely. Anybody can be sick on a certain day or in a certain week, and I'm sure all members of the PAC wish her a speedy recovery. And if and when once she gets better, we hope that she will be in a position to join us should there be more questions that we would have for her at that stage.
And what about Frank Flannery? The letter that your committee clerk Ted McHenry sent to his solicitors last night said the reasons Frank Flannery gave for not going along are nothing short of contemptible. That's a very strong thing to say.
Well, it is, but we also received a very strong letter from Mr. Flannery, and I think it is very regrettable that he has decided to go down this route. Every single political leader in the Dáil and every single member of the Public Accounts Committee has requested that Mr. Flannery, not because he's Mr. Flannery, but because he had been the chief executive of the rehab group, which receives about €83 million a year in taxpayers' funding, would come before the Public Accounts Committee and help us in trying to shine a light on a sector that we haven't looked at previously. And I think it is regrettable that Mr. Flannery has put us in this position now where there's an exchange of letters back and forth, and I would hope that after today's meeting, if questions do remain for him to answer and questions that only he can answer, that he would cooperate with.
What are the questions that you believe only he can answer?
Well, there's a couple, I suppose. The two areas. One, obviously, he was the chief executive. He was the head day-to-day manager of this organisation, receiving vast sums of taxpayers' money. And let me say, by the way, for the provision of many excellent services in many cases, he can only tell us about his time within that organisation. And in fact, in his own letter, he refers to numerous changes in the administration of public expenditure since he left. So I think he can give us a pretty unique insight into what governance structures and arrangements were in place in rehab during his time. Also, as we've learned in recent weeks, Frank Flannery, it now appears, was a paid lobbyist for rehab. He needs to explain to us exactly what he was lobbying for, how he was paid to be a lobbyist.
And was that set out in the letters or any communications sent by your committee to Frank Flannery? You wanted to talk to him about his lobbying activities.
You know, I certainly hope it was. I don't have all the letters in front of me, but I think there's no doubt that he can't be in any doubt that that is one of an issue of major public concern, because you have a situation here where it appears that an individual was a member of a board of directors and whilst a member was also a paid lobbyist for that organisation. Now that, in my mind, raises questions about company law in terms of can you be, and I'm posing these as questions, but can you be a paid employee of an organisation as a member of the board?
That's a matter that might perhaps more usefully be addressed by the Justice Committee, because you're talking about law. You're talking about the public accounts. Now,
yes,
they are normally scrutinised by the Controller and Auditor General.
Yes.
And also there are accounting officers who are in charge of the money that's used to buy their services, notably the HSE and I think the Department of Justice as well, maybe.
Yes.
So has there been any concern in any of the observations or presentations to your committee from that quarter or from those quarters to suggest there's real concern about the money spent on rehab services?
Well, you have to remember, Sean, why we're looking into Section 38 and Section 39 organisations. You know, it would be nice for the Public Accounts Committee to claim the credit, but that wouldn't actually be accurate. We have a situation here where the Minister for Health conducted a very comprehensive audit with the HSE, the first ever audit into these sectors. And in the Dáil, on the record of the Dáil, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Health, in many public utterances, different party leaders have asked that the Public Accounts Committee would scrutinise these issues. And I'm very confident, as are I think most of my colleagues, if not all of them, that we are within our remit, because if you look at there is a chain here that the money is given by the taxpayer through various government departments to rehab and indeed to other charities. You can't simply have a situation where the money is scrutinised until it gets to the door of a charitable organisation, but once it arrives there, nobody bothers to ask any questions on behalf of the taxpayer. Now, I would acknowledge we are in a new area here, because this has never been done before. Never before has anybody scrutinised disability organisations, charitable organisations.
You see,
I think that's very much
Frank Flannery, I think, would make the point, and who knows, we may be able to have him on the programme at some stage, if not today, that Rehab is a private organisation. It competed for services or for contracts laid out by the government in the same way as a lot of other contracts would be competed for. And you have as much right to demand his presence in there as you might have to demand the presence of, say, somebody from Deloitte or KPMG who provide other accounting services or different ones. They don't get grants. They supply invoices for services provided.
That's a nonsense, because whilst you're right that they do provide services, and anyone who makes that argument would be correct, they benefit from charitable status. And charitable status isn't just a piece of paper that you're given and off you go. Charitable status has to mean something. The Rehab Group benefits from certain tax provisions as a result of charitable status. It benefits from not having to pay commercial rates as charitable status. It also has to be scrutinised as a result of that. But in addition to that, yes, there are commercial aspects to the Rehab Group, quite significant commercial aspects. But one has to ask, could Rehab continue to pay the level of remuneration that it is paying to its senior executives, and could it continue to operate in the way that it does operate without the support, albeit for services provided, that the taxpayer offers at about €83 million a year? You can't be a little bit a charity, and I think this is where we need to have a discussion.
And
Rehab is commercial when it suits us, and it's a charity when it suits them.
But do your concerns, do they really go much beyond Mr. Flannery's lobbying activities and the salary level that was paid to Angela Cairns?
Well, my personal concerns are that the structure of the Rehab Group needs very, very serious examination. I don't believe you can be part charity, part commercial, and pick and choose which one you wish to be depending on the day of the week.
And
I very much welcome the Eddie Molloy review announced by the board, which they're describing as a root and branch review. And in fairness to Ms. Cairns, when she was before the Public Accounts Committee a number of weeks ago, she herself acknowledged that there was a need to review these structures. But the board has serious questions to answer, and that's what today's meeting is now going to be about. Mr. Flannery and Ms. Cairns won't be there today. We now know that. But we will, for the first time here, from the chair of the board of the Rehab Group, will for the first time hear from the Director of Finance, and we'll hear from the Remuneration Committee. And boards can't be, we're seeing this in many organisations, not just Rehab, boards aren't just kind of sitting there to nod along, and boards have a job to do, and being a director of an organisation comes with serious responsibilities.
And what information do you think you'll be able to get from the boards, from the representative of the chair and the Remuneration Committee? Will you be able, or would you expect to be able to get all the information you've been looking for about the level of pay, about other arrangements, be it Ms. Cairns' severance package, if there was one, and also how much and for how long that Frank Flannery was a paid lobbyist for Rehab?
Well, I believe I read in the media that the maybe letters have been sent to the Rehab Group telling them not to discuss severance pay and the likes. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what I read. In relation to the issue of lobbying, the board obviously have to be able to answer this. Their colleague on the board was a paid lobbyist. We need to know, did Mr. Kerr, as chairperson of the board, know this? Did he sanction this? And crucially, Sean, we need to know, and the taxpayer needs to know, where did the funding for that lobbying salary or consultancy come from? Did it come from this compensation scheme for the charitable lotto? We need to know exactly where that came from. But we also need to know more than that. This isn't just about, obviously we're following the money, but we also need to know what ethos the taxpayer is putting money into. We need to know, how much did Mr. Kerr and his board colleagues know about the foreign trips and foreign travel? How much did they know about the pay to people with disabilities who are already being paid very small salaries, pittance in some cases? How much do they know about their salaries being cut whilst their executive continued to earn exorbitant salaries? There's an awful lot of light that Mr. Kerr can cast on these.
What do you say to the suggestion, and it's been floated in the media in the last several days, that Frank Flannery is being got at? He's being hung out to dry, or there's an attempt being made to do that because of his previous activity and his association with your own party, Fine Gael.
There's absolutely no doubt that Mr. Flannery has an excellent political brain and played a very large role in the rebuilding of the party that I'm a member of, the Fine Gael.
You probably
party.
Wouldn't even be a TD were it not for Frank Flannery.
Well, I wouldn't be a TD if it wasn't for the people of Wicklow, but there's no doubt that Frank Flannery played a very large role in the rebuilding of Fine Gael, and nobody can take that from him, and that's been
But now you have to cut him adrift because it doesn't suit the party.
But hang on a second. I was elected as a new TD, as part of a government that was promising to shine lights on areas that hadn't been shone on before, to try and bring transparency to areas that Fianna Fáil hadn't bothered its Barney to do in the past. And if anybody
like sacking
thinks
a guard, the commissioner.
If anybody thinks, well, we can get into that conversation if you want, but just to finish this point, if anybody thinks that I, as a new Fine Gael TD, I'm the member of the Public Accounts Committee, I'm going to ask less tough questions or I'm going to turn a blind eye because of the party affiliation or the past political activities of anyone, they're sadly mistaken. And the Taoiseach, in his own comments on Mr Flannery, has been very decisive and consistent that anybody, not just Mr Flannery, but anybody involved in the charity sector which receives public funds should cooperate with the work that we're doing. And it's important to note that issues in relation to the rehab group were first raised in the Dáil by Minister Shatter. Issues in relation to auditing Section 38 and Section 39 were first raised by Minister Riley.
Okay,
so this is the government trying to tackle this issue.
We've got to leave it there. Simon Harris, Fine Gael TD, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Back home, as we heard earlier when we spoke to Deputy Simon Harris, rehab executives and board members are answering questions at the Public Accounts Committee today. Daniel McConnell, political correspondent with Independent Newspapers, joins me now from the Dáil. Daniel, first of all, rehab's chairman Brian Kerr made an opening statement. What were the main points there?
Good morning, Sean. His main points were essentially they were full of apologies as to why they didn't come in before. They were certainly a tenor of mea culpa on, and he was blaming sort of misunderstandings and miscommunications within rehab as to why the himself as chairman and the remuneration committee came in. He went on to say that they had been essentially gagged by Angela Kearns last night, that she had instructed her solicitors to inform them not to disclose any information in relation to her salary or her wider remuneration package. And they basically said, she also said that she was withdrawing a waiver to disclose her personal information as she'd done so at the previous meeting, and she was withdrawing that and basically said that they were prohibited in any way from discussing her individual case.
And what else emerged then in the presentation and in the exchanges?
Sure, we've heard a number of statements from various members of the rehab delegation from the remuneration committee, and basically what they've set out, as much as they can, in fairness to them, they have been quite open, notwithstanding the restraints that have been placed upon them. They've been quite open. We've heard that Frank Flannery, the former chief executive and director, earned about €409,000 for lobbying on behalf of rehab between 2007 and 2013. The lowest payment he got in 2007 was about €40,000, but he got about €79,000 last year.
Was it specified as money for lobbying as opposed to for consultancy services?
Well, it was under the banner of consultancy, but when pressed, the committee members did say, well, did this include lobbying? And it was agreed it was. And we had known that Mr Flannery had engaged in lobbying of the government, particularly around the charitable lottery fund and the decision by Alan Shatter to wind that up. So that sort of did emerge at the committee. We also got further salary details of other senior staff at rehab, and essentially we heard that there are seven senior directors who are being paid between $104,000 and $174,000 a year, and these are current salaries. These are not retrospective salaries. These are current salaries. So as I said, clearly the mood from rehab was, rather than one of trying to frustrate the activities of the committee, it's certainly one under Brian Kerr is now. We apologise for the kind of controversies and the refusal to give details in the past. We are trying to be as open and transparent as we can now. They've now engaged consultant Eddie Malloy to oversee what they're calling a transition period, because they openly admit that, you know, they've been remiss in kind of their corporate governance issues and you know, people staying on the board for too long. And as I stepped out of the committee, they were just getting into the meat of some of those details.
Yes, and the Director of Finance there, Keith Poole, as well, he has been speaking about some of the lessons to be learned.
Yeah, he certainly spoke of, I suppose, because he was dealing with, he was being asked about the sanctioning of invoices and the sanctioning and whether or not Angela Kearns, as CEO, had direct or, I suppose, unilateral authority over these invoices. And he said up to a certain level that she would. But I think all the committee who have spoken, Keith Poole particularly, did say that significant lessons do need to be learned, and that, you know, corporate governance wasn't necessarily as robust as it should have been in the past.
And what about Kieran O'Donnell? He was saying that it was extremely unfortunate and regrettable that Ms. Kearns and Mr. Flannery didn't attend. And he asked, as I understand it, Mr. Kerr, that's the chairman, how he feels about the fact that Frank Flannery didn't appear. What response was there to that?
Yeah. Brian Kerr did make the point that, in his view, it would have been better had they found a way, because I think for both Angela Kearns and Frank Flannery to appear, I think certainly the widespread political pressure had come not only from the Taoiseach's office but throughout government and throughout the opposition for both people to appear. I know John McGuinness was on Morning Ireland this morning saying that those two individuals had very direct roles and had an awful lot to contribute to the PAC's investigations, and Brian Kerr, the chairman, sort of went along with us, agreeing that they should have found some way of addressing, notwithstanding their concerns about what the committee were seeking to delve into, that they should have found some way of coming in before them.
And what about the question about whether they're going to seek compellability then to effectively force Frank Flannery and Angela Kearns to come in to talk to them?
Well, as of this morning, John McGuinness was certainly saying that they would await to see what comes out of today's hearing, and a lot, I presume, depended on how open and transparent rehab were willing to be. The compellability issue is a difficult one for the PAC. I know some members in the past have come out and said, oh, listen, we can hold these people in very quickly. It's a very complicated process. They need to seek authority of another committee, and they've been seeking to do that on another matter in terms of Matt Merrigan, a former SIFTU official. That's been in the long grass for many months now, and no progress as of yet. So, I mean, if they were to move to compel Frank Flannery or Angela Kearns, it's certainly not going to happen today, tomorrow or next week. It would be many months down the road.
OK, Daniel McConnell of Independent Newspapers, political correspondent, thanks for joining us.